Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Before we get started, please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you, we praise you. Lord, we exalt you, we magnify you. Lord, I'm asking, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. We bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. So, I got your attention right up here on the screen. And we're going to go to the topic this evening. If you have your cell phones in here, please put them on the off position. But I've entitled this evening's message, Repay No One Evil for Evil. Let me repeat that. Repay no one evil for evil. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Romans chapter 12. And we're going to do our best to break down verses 16 through 21. Are we ready to roll? Here we go. Verse 16. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Praise God. Have regard for good things in the sight of what? Of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with what? All men. Praise God. One of the key elements as Paul is alluding here, and how he wrote to the Roman church, how it pertains to us, the theme would be having a humble heart, walking in humility, not repaying evil for evil. Amen. Let's move on to verse 19, and it goes, Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place. Well, look at this. But rather give place to wrath, for it is written, Vengeance is whose? Yours? No, he says, Vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy's hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Wow. Do not overcome. Here it is. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Praise God. Praise God. So one of the things that we want to teach on tonight is something that, let me just say this. Many of us, before we came into the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, some of us were in really bad places in life. You guys know my testimony, how God found me. I was so laden with drugs and alcohol and things of that nature. Not only was I a user, but I was selling the dope, you name it, doing some rough things. But it doesn't matter where you're at. And those of you, I'm speaking to those maybe that are watching right now. But no matter where you're at, no matter those who you've been praying for, who are not serving God or maybe went astray or don't even know God at all, they're unbelieving. But no matter where you're at, God can reach you right then and there. It doesn't matter what state of mind they're in. It doesn't matter what they're going through. God can just stop time and space for you. He did that for me. He did that for you, hasn't he? And so when I came to the Lord, I was, like my brother G would say, toe up from the flow up. I was just, you know, someone that you did not want to be around. But yet God still had mercy. God still had grace. And this is why we are now to walk with humility. Because back in the day, if someone got in our grill, we would get right back into their grill, right? And a lot of times we will settle the issue right there with these fisticuffs. But God's saying now, don't repay evil for evil. Walk with the heart of humility. If anything, walk away from it. Walk away from it. Who's ever in a contentious spirit and is quarreling with you, walk away. Don't let allow your blood to boil, and all of a sudden you forget about your Christianity, and next thing you know, you're tumbling down the street. No. We got a new mind. The Bible says, put on the mind of Christ. What did Christ do when he was persecuted, when he was spat upon, when they beat him? The Bible says he opened not his mouth. So we are to walk with that type of humility. I know it's tough. Yeah, but you don't know where I grew up at. You don't know all the people I used to hang with. I go, well, that's okay. But God knew what situation that he found you in. And now, he's cleaning you up from the inside out. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Look what Paul wrote. We'll go back here to the screen. But look what Paul wrote to the Corinthian church right up here. In 1 Corinthians 1:10. He wrote this. Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all, what? Speak the same thing. He's talking about believers now. And that there is no divisions among you. And that you what? That you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Praise God. So what was he saying here? He's saying, you know what? We need to have the same like-mindedness. And we need to put on Christ, the hope of glory. And guess what? When you do it the Lord's way, there's no room for error. There's no room for you to fall in. There won't be a snare and a ditch to fall into. Why? Because you'll be led by the Holy Spirit. You'll be led by God. But you have to want to be led by Him. That's the key. We no longer should be stiff-necked about the things of God anymore. That thing is something of old now. That's the old Fee Sullivan. I'm going to use me. That's the old Fee. That's the old Placido. And that's how you say my name correctly. Placido. So let's move on to verse 16 and let's expound this Bible study tonight. Amen. So in Romans 12:16, look at this. It says, be of the same mind toward one another. So if God is saying be humble and love one another, this is what he's saying. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. You know, there's an old saying, you can be having a conversation with someone, and then that conversation may turn into what's called an argument. And then the argument turns into shouting and yelling, and then it could get out of hand. And here's the thing. I'd rather give place to you so that I don't lose you. Because you could be so dead right and yet wrong. Yeah. Just to make your point, I know I'm right, and lose that person. Sometimes you just have to humble yourself. You know you're right. You know what? And in your mind, you're probably, I don't know, but it's okay. You just to bring peace, humble yourself. Humble yourself. Always remember, use humility in all that we do. So in order to live in harmony, saints of God, with others, and especially with fellow believers, we must not act important or think that we know it all. I'm not going to mention any names, but Sister Yolanda knows who I'm talking about. There was a person in our fellowship years ago. We used to call him Brother Know-It-All because he knew it all. And so we left it alone. That's Brother Know-It-All. And his explanation was more correct than yours. So we left it alone. We said, you know, that's who he is. And sometimes, saints of God, you can't change somebody. Amen? Let it go. Let it go. I'm talking real life here. Let it go. But instead, we are to enjoy the company of fellowship. Amen? You should enjoy to be around your brother and sister. You should be it should be a joy that you're around your elders and your pastor. You shouldn't walk around like you're walking on rice paper. Can I get amen? You got to be real. We're real people. There's no hierarchy in the kingdom of God. There's no big eyes and little U's. We're all equal at the cross. Can I get amen? And so, James, he leveled a scathing indictment on believers who were practicing favoritism and those that are cliquish. They wanted to have cliques in the church. You know, when you go to a big, big church, unfortunately, there's little cliques everywhere. It's just the way it is. We call it human nature. But you know what? God's saying, we need to be friends with everyone. Can I get amen? And so look what James was talking about here to correlate what Paul was saying to the Roman church. It's found right here in James chapter 2. Look at this. In verse 1, it says, my brethren, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality. Did you catch that? Oh, I'm going to love you, but I don't know about you. Well, I don't know about you. I don't know. Man, you know, there's something about you that, well. We get that. Sometimes people get that way. But God's trying to correct that pattern in our life. He's trying to cleanse us and wash us. He's trying to grow us in our faith so that we can love others like he loves us. Look at this. For there should come into your assembly a man with gold rings, fine apparel, and there should also come in a poor man in filthy clothes. We've seen that before, time and time again. Someone has, man, he decked out, and someone, man, you know, he just doesn't have money to get it together. Might be homeless. Who knows? But look at this. And you pay attention to the one wearing the fine clothes and say to him, you sit here in a good place, and say to the poor man, you stand over there or sit here at my footstool. Have you not shown partiality among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? See, what I love about the Word of God and what I love about the Holy Spirit of God, it reveals our heart to us. It shows us who we are. It shows us. And this is what I love about God. You know, I like God expose my heart to me. Show me who I really am so that I won't be like that. But back in the day when we didn't know God, we just rolled whichever way felt good, whatever we wanted to say. Bleepity blee. But now that we are what? Kingdom minded. We're in the kingdom of God. We should now learn to love one another like Christ has loved us. Look what it says here in verse 5. Listen, my beloved brethren, has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he promised to those who love him? So it doesn't matter if this guy only has what? 2 pennies in his pocket. He has holes in his tennis shoes. He may have holes in his t-shirt. He may have food stains on him. He may not have shaven. Maybe he has grime on his hands. Yet, but God says, if he loves me, I love him. That's right. And who are we to discount him, that he's not important in the kingdom of God? God's word right here before us is telling us, listen, my brethren. He's calling us beloved brethren. He's pleading with us. God's saying, listen, I love you guys, but listen to me. Has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored what? The poor man. Do not the rich oppress you and drag you into the courts? That poor man couldn't sue you if he wanted to. But someone that got money and wealthy, they'll sue you for anything because they got attorneys left and right at their dispense. Wow. This is what God is saying here. Look at this in verse 7. Do they not blaspheme that noble name by which you are called? If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And then it says you do well. But if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. This is how God looks at this. This is why we need, as Romans chapter 12, verse 16 says, that we need to walk in humility. We need not to walk like the world, but to walk as Christian lovers of God. You know how people are going to get won to Christ? When they see your good works, that you love people, that you don't look down upon them, that you're there to serve them, to go pray for them, to help them. You can call someone and they'll be there for you. So people of low position are only identified as such by the world's standards. So the world has a standard, but guess what? In God's kingdom, it's opposite. The lowly and the humble, He's the one that exalts you. He elevates you when you stay humble before Him. Amen? So Christ thought they were worth dying for. Aren't you so blessed? Despite of ourselves, He said, I'm gonna come and die for you and watch me do something that you couldn't do for yourself and change your heart from the inside out. That's what Jesus does for you. Now, let's now move on to verse 17. Because this is what this says right here. Look at this in verse 17. This is where I got my topic tonight. Repay no one evil for evil. So if you always ask, well, where do you get your topical messages from? I go right here from the Word. So repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. Not some. Not people that you only know. But even strangers. Especially strangers, yes. Be hospitable, be kind, be noble, be pure at heart. Show no partiality and watch God do something radical. I remember I got a call from our sister Catherine months ago. And she said, there's a lady that we need to pray for. She probably has moments to live. So we went over there and prayed for the lady, and the daughter was standing above her by the bedside. And then we all turned to her and, would you like to receive Christ too? And the Holy Spirit fell. Just imagine if I said, no, I ain't got time for that tonight. Sorry, find someone else to pray for you. I would have missed out on our blessing. I would have missed out on a blessing that night. Why? You know why? Because God had set that whole thing up, not only for the lady that was passing on, but for the daughter that was standing there. Don't cancel your moments with God. Be ready in season, out of season, ready to go. You know that old rock song, get your motor running, head out in the highway, wind, be ready. Be ready to serve the Lord when God calls you to do something. Because guess what? Bible study like this, you know what this is tonight? All it is training you up. Reminding you the things that we need to learn so that God can equip us. This is called getting your equipment here tonight. Or reminding you that God has given you that equipment already. So now just use it. So when people do evil against us, we are never to pay back evil for evil as much as we would like to. Oh, come on. Look at this. Peter wrote this in 1 Peter 3:9. Not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling. You know what reviling means? That means, you know what? Knocking somebody out in a fight, like a brawl. But on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a what? A blessing. How many of you want to inherit a blessing? Then be a blessing to somebody. Don't be a curse to someone. No matter how they are conducting themselves, be a blessing to them. You know, that this is how you squash things. It's through love and peace and joy. That's how you can turn ugly things in favor of what God wants you to learn to do with others. So instead, we are to do things in such a way that everyone can see that you and I are honorable to God and honorable to one another. That's what God wants to do. He wants to see us walk in honor. Can I get amen? I found this in a chapter before 1 Peter 3. I found it in 1 Peter 2. Look at this. It correlates with Romans chapter 12, verse 17. It says, "Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims." Meaning, we're only here temporarily. We're like pilgrims passing through. Did you know we're here temporarily? So we're not here for a long, long time. We may live to 85 years of age, but in God's economy, that's not long at all to God. Because God lives, He lives in infinity. He lives forever. He will never die. Here on earth, we only have so much time, and then our flesh goes back to the dust. So He said this, "Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from what? Fleshly lusts which war against the soul." What wars against your soul? Opposite of humility is what? Anger, bitterness, resentfulness, being vengeful, being critical, tell-bearing on one another. You know what tell-bearing means? That means talking about others behind their back. That's what a tell-bearer is. Look at this. "Having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation." You know what that means right there? People can be mean to you. People could say, I never want to speak to that person again. And that's okay. All we can do is pray for them that God will one day, you know, soften their heart and give them a different outlook. But look what that says, that may your good works which they observe glorify God in the day of visitation. Meaning, God's going to come to them one day. And God's going to remind them about you. And how? Wasn't so-and-so nice to you and yet you treated them really bad? There's a day that God's going to visit every one of them. It's called the day of visitation. I want God, when He comes and He comes upon me, I want Him to shower me with His presence and His love. And when I ignite with the presence of the Holy Spirit, I have one thing in mind. Number one, He loves me. Number two, that He chooses His presence to be upon us. Aren't you so blessed to know that not everyone in this world can experience His presence like we? Like you and I? Because we're born again, filled with the Spirit? Not everyone's privileged to have that. But we have that special gift. Paul's standard for behavior was not common. It wasn't a common census, but godliness. And so the point made, saints, here is that the behavior of believers must be such that no one can rightfully make a claim of wrongdoing. Don't you want people, even though they may have an ought with you, at least they can, what, say, "I don't know why I'm mad at them, but there's really nothing wrong with them." And God will bring them to that place where they will give their heart to God and then humble themselves and make amends with you and reconcile with you. That's what happened to me when I got saved. There were so many people I didn't want to talk to no more. There were so many people I hated. I hated them. I spoke bad about them. And yet, what did God do? He changed the whole situation. And He allowed me to go back and reconcile with them. That's the grace of God. That's the what? Mercy of God. That's the holiness of God. When He can just flip your heart and make it in the image and likeness and raising you up like him, where you can go back to someone now who you once thought you hated and say, you know what, I love you. I'm so sorry that you would humble yourself despite of how they feel about you. Man, it takes a supernatural God to do that supernaturally in your heart. And to commit the same evil that was committed against us makes us what? Indistinguishable from the original offenders. And so let's move on to verse 18 of Romans chapter 12. Look at this. It says this. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Listen, God's not saying, you know what, you need to be my best friend now that I'm saved. No. He's not saying that. But guess what? Live at peace with them now. Yeah. You know, when you see them, hug them. They're not your enemy no more. As a matter of fact, no one should be your enemy. Your enemy is the devil who wants to kill, steal, and destroy. That's your true enemy. We are to love God's created beings, and we are the highly most created beings on this earth. We're the highest creation of all the earth as us human beings. And guess what? He chose to die for us. And to live in us. Whoa, man, what a blessing. I was talking to my brother the other day, last week, how God created this earth perfectly for us. Out of all the galaxies in the world, all the solar systems, all the planets, all the stars, which are suns like ours. Ours, we have that one sun, and all of our planets rotate around it 24/7. But the billions and billions and trillions of stars that are out there, and they have planets that surround them like ours, we're the only ones that the Bible says has life. And he made it for us. Perfectly. Man, look at God, how much he loves us. And then he came down to this tiny little speck of the earth to die for you and die for me. That is love that we cannot comprehend. That's why the highest form of love in the Greek is agape. Unconditional love. Wow. So Paul, he counsels believers to have as peaceful relationships as possible, even with their unbelieving neighbors and associates. Look what Matthew wrote down here in the words of Jesus right up here. In Matthew 5:39, Jesus said it best, I tell you not to resist an evil person, but whoever slaps you on the right cheek, turn the other also. Now this is God saying this. Some of you, man, someone slaps you on the lips, you're ready to knock them out. But look at this. But I tell you, not to resist an evil person, but whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other also to him. If anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak also. And whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. In other words, you know what God is trying to tell us? Give it to me. Yeah. Give, in layman's terms, is all these issues that rise up in our life, give it all to him and let him work them out. He's got our front, our back, our top, our bottom, our sides. He's everywhere around us. Don't let these things get in your way. These things will happen one day. Hopefully not someone suing your socks off, but these issues rise up. But then God said, give it to me. And then watch what I do. So if we learn to trust God, all things are possible through him who believes. Amen? Thank you, God. So in a perfect world, all people could have peaceably life together. But realistically, saints, This is impossible in our imperfect world. We live in an imperfect world. So we're going to, this is why Jesus is saying, these things will happen to us. Don't let it surprise you, but prepare your heart for those things when they do happen, so it won't catch you off guard. Believers, as the salt of the earth, should do their part to live in peace with everyone. We've got the ammunition now. We've got the wisdom. We got the knowledge. We got the Word of God. We got the Holy Spirit. We got the power of God. There's no reason why we cannot now walk in the ways of God, because there's no more excuses. Look what Proverbs says right up here in Proverbs 16:7. When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies be at peace with him. Did you catch that? That means honor God. Give it to God. Say, God, you know what? I give this to you. I can't battle this. Because when I put my hands in it, I muddy it all up. And it won't ever get right until I get right with you, God. Once I get right with you, God, I know that you'll make things right in your time. But here's the key. When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies be at peace with him. I share this, and I'll make it quick, but back in the day, right before I got saved, one of the men that would supply the drugs to me was from the Dominican Republic. And he would always call me, "Hey, Fin, Carlos." And I knew he was calling for his money, because he would front me the drugs. And when I got saved, and you know my story, I flushed it all away, I got rid of it. He was looking for his money. And I said, God, I don't want this life no more. God, I don't want to be a part of this life. I don't want to be a part of this man's life no more. What do I do? I was just a baby Christian. I just was maybe a week old in Christ. And I don't know what God did with this man. One of three things. He saved him, he deported him, or he got rid of him. Because I owed him a whole lot of money, and those guys are unforgiving. They will kill you when you do them wrong. And I don't know where to go. Who do I go? I don't know what to do. But I cried out to Jesus. And he caused that person to somehow, which I'm thinking out loud, to be at peace with me. I don't know how God did it, but he did it. And I'm glad he did it. And it wasn't me trying to do it. He did it. And so, saints of God, the cause of dissension could be our own doing. Believers should do their utmost obligation to always seek reconciliation with others. There's some people in your life, my life, I'm going to be real with all of us, including myself, they don't want to talk to us no more. And so you know what our prayer should be in your devotional time? God, make a supernatural way that we can reconcile. Oh God, I still love this person, God. And I wish no harm on them, even though they don't think highly of me no more. But I want them to succeed in life. You see, Job learned how to pray for his friends. And that's when God blessed his life. We have to learn how to pray for those that do not want nothing to do with us no more. We pray for their well-being. We pray that God will prosper them. We pray that God will bless them. We pray for good things to happen to them. But the moment you start praying bad things, watch out. God will teach you some harsh lessons. Pray for them. Because you know what Jesus said on the cross? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And a lot of times, they don't even know why they won't talk to you no more. They just have a hardened heart to do it. And only God could chisel that away. And he does. And so praise God for the power of God. See, we have a wonderful Heavenly Father who looks out for every one of us. He's looking out for our best interest. Can I get an amen? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So we're going to move on now to verse 19 of Romans chapter 12. And it reads, Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give what? But rather give place to wrath. For it is written, Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. What? Yes, God will repay. And I want to ask this question. Bible scholars that are in here, what scripture was Paul, and don't look into your Bible, I'm seeing if you know this already in your mind, in your heart, but what scripture was he quoting? What book? That's what I'm going to, what book was he quoting? You remember, Paul was Saul of Tarsus. Remember, he was a rabbi of all rabbis. He was a teacher of the Old Testament. So, Leviticus? Close. Come on, I know some of you know this. Beloved, do not avenge yourself, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Okay, I'm not going to go Jeopardy on you. Dun, 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 dun. No. Okay, it's right up here. And just remember, I know that you won't forget this no more. Because he also wrote it down in the book in the New Testament. I'm going to ask that question in a minute. But the Old Testament, who did, right here, verse 19 in Romans chapter 12, he says, Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. So he was quoting from an Old Testament passage of Scripture. And here it is, Deuteronomy 32:35. Vengeance is mine, and I will recompense. Their foot shall slip in due time, for the day of their calamity is at hand, and the things to come hasten upon them. So what is he saying here? He got this from the Old Testament. Vengeance is mine. Whose it? Is it his? No, it's God's. It's God who will repay. We're not to put our hands in it. I don't care what they've done to you. I don't care what they've said. I don't care what they stole. I don't care what they did. And if it was done in a malicious, evil way against you, don't repay them with that same evil. Give it to God, because vengeance is his. And my wife, Yolanda, can attest to that. God fought our battles, didn't he? And he fought them strong and mighty, because we gave it to God. And he went to bat for us. So look what else in the New Testament. Hebrews 10. Look at this. 10:30. For we know him who said, Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. And again the Lord will judge his people. It is a fearful thing. Look at this. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Let me just say this. If an evildoer or someone that's bringing, that has a ill-contented heart against you and wants to see you crushed, wants to see you pay for something, wants to see you demoralized, wants to see your life crushed, wants to see the worst out of your life, give it to God, and then God says, wait till they fall into my hands. They will understand the fear of God when he has to deal with them directly now. And we, guess what? We didn't pray for God to do that. We didn't ask God to destroy them. No, we just said, God, help me here, God, because I don't know what to do, and I want to honor you. I give this situation to you. You see what's going on. Lord, please take care of us. Take care of me. That's all you need to do. You don't have to explain, God, will you do it like this? God, will you do it like... No.
Exactly.
No. Stay away from that. That becomes like witchcraft then. Because that's what the witches prayed to Satan. Destroy him like this. Destroy him like that. Do that. Do this. No. God's not like that. We give our burdens to him. And we lay them at his feet. Can I get an amen? I lay this burden to you, God. Have your perfect way, your perfect will, but help heal my heart. See, he's got to get us right first. And once he heals our heart, he will deal with your enemy. Trust me, he will. But we don't ask him to destroy them. We say, I give it to you, God. Because you are the giver of life. So Paul reminds us, that though we may want to avenge ourselves, we must leave that to who? God. And so we saw this in Matthew. We're going to look at this again. Look at this in Matthew 5:39. But I tell you not to resist an evil person, but whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other also to him. If anyone wants to sue you, let him take your tunic. Let him have your cloak also. But it goes on to say, and whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to him who asks you, and from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away. Listen, if you have something that you can give away, if someone says, you know what, man, I'm really struggling, you know, $10 will go a long way right now, you know, gas and this, you know what? Don't do it like this. Okay, here's $10, man, but you owe me now. Give it away. Don't even think that you owe that person owes you anything. Give it away. Just say, hey, take this in Jesus' name, and I pray that God will cause this to do whatever he needs to help you in. Because God will replace it for you. God will replace it. There's some people that are so tight-fisted with things that it's like, oh, go ahead, I'll take it.
No, never mind.
No, never mind. And you grab it by the little tail that's flying away. Jesus, help us. Jesus, help us. And so saints, refusing to take revenge avoids, you know what it avoids? Grudges and feuds.
Amen.
God will ensure that his just revenge or vengeance, not revenge, but vengeance, it's his and his alone. Doesn't belong to us. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Now, Paul goes on further to say this in verse 21 of Romans chapter 12. Therefore, if your enemy's hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in doing so, you will heap what? Coals of fire on his head. You know, there's some people that when you show love and kindness, they don't know how to receive it. And guess what? You know what you've done when you show love and kindness? You squash it. You squash whatever it is between you two. And then it melts their heart. Because let me tell you, kindness will go... Let me just say this. Honey goes a long more ways than vinegar. And you've had both before. I'd rather drink honey than vinegar. Vinegar, you want to... But once again... Where did Paul get if your enemy's hungry? He was always, one thing about Paul, because he was a student of the word, he would always quote the Old Testament. Because the new one was being written at the time. So there was nothing really to read any books. And the majority of the New Testament was his writings anyway. But look at Proverbs 25:21. If your enemy is hungry, give him bread to eat. He got it from Proverbs. And if he is thirsty, give him water to drink. For so you will heap coals of fire on his head, and the Lord will reward you. Wow. How many want to be rewarded by God? Then guess what? Learn to give stuff away. You know, I know it sounds redundant sometimes. It sounds like when Tammy prays for us up here for tithes and offerings, for some people, oh, here we go again. It's tithe and offering time. It's like, no. She's not doing it in a facetious way. She's reminding us that that is our duty to do, is to give it away. Whatever we have, we give it away and watch God return it back. He replenishes what you give away. And I can attest to that. Because my first 7 years was at North Park Apostolic Church. And here comes the offering. Oop, I would just pass the bag that way. I didn't know how to give and I didn't want to. I still had that old mentality. You know what? I need this for a stretch. I had no biblical concept. Yes, it took some time. Until finally God spoke to Yolanda and I. And ever since then, we've looked back. And he has blessed us beyond comprehension. Getting a house without going through a lender. Come on. Who signs their house over to you? God does it. Because we learn how to give back to him. We learn how to give our life away. We didn't complain about getting woke, going out there at 11 o'clock at night in the coldest night of the year and baptize two precious souls. No. God said, go do it. That's what I called you to do. Don't complain. And I did it. And I said, oh, it's going to be cold. But I got on my shorts and we was ready. God blesses you. When you do the things for the Lord. I hope this is a teachable moment for us and those who are logged in right now. But look what Luke says. Dr. Luke. Don't you love Dr. Luke? Dr. Luke wrote this down. And it's in Jesus' red writing. Look at this. In Luke 6:27. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who spitefully use you. And we've all been used by people before, haven't you? Yeah, and we've also used others no differently. Look at this, verse 29. To him who strikes you on one cheek, offer the other one also, just like Matthew said. And from him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Look at this in verse 30. Give to everyone who asks of you, and from him who takes away your goods, do not ask them back. Didn't I just say that? Give it away and don't think that they owe you something now. Give it to them. Don't ask for it back. And just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise. You want love in return, then love them. If you're mean-spirited to people, they'll be mean-spirited back to you. And then you're not going to like it. Well, why do people don't like me? Because of you. Look at this. But if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. Uh-oh, God is teaching us here something here. You know, it's easy to love those we know. Can you love those that you don't know or the ones that really don't want to know you? Look at this. Verse 33. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. What? And if you lend to those from whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? For even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much back. God is teaching us That song that we sing sometimes in worship. What's one of the songs that you could think of that will correlate with this? I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. So you, anything you do, you're giving it away. You're giving your life away. Learn to give your life away. Amen? Look at this in verse 35. But love your enemies. Do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return. And your reward will be great. See, God will reward you for your kind heart. And you will be the sons of the Most High. What? How many of you want to be the sons and daughters of the Most High? I do. Well, do it His way. You can't fail when you do it God's way. Look at this. For He is kind to the unthankful, and even the evil ones, God is still kind. Listen, we've been living in this home 28 years. Okay, we've seen next door to us two different owners. When we got here, there was a couple here living here. And then they were here for so long, they lost their home in foreclosure. And then the ones that are living there, his name, we call him G, he lives there. And we know for a fact that their families don't serve God. They have parties here. They drink. You can hear them until the wee hours of the night. But when we get to our back room and our bedroom, we don't hear them no more. Praise God. And they don't serve God. But guess what? God still is good to them. Yeah. The Bible says He reigns on the just and the unjust. He still pours rain on their property too. When the rain falls, it rains on both of our properties. There's still food for them. There's shelter for them. This is how much God loves His created beings. This is why He's long-suffering. This is why we pray for those who don't know Him, that they would come into the saving knowledge and believe and trust God that He will save them. It first starts with the sphere of influence, those people that surround your life. Did you know there's people in your life that I may never meet and vice versa? But that's your world. And so your sphere of influence is who God wants to use you right there, right then. And God will do the miraculous in your life. And then we've seen those, how God uses people, and we see the fruit in their life. They're full of joy. They got peace. They may not have a whole lot of money, but they're content to what God has given them. They're not chasing the dollar. Matter of fact, God's chasing them to bless their life. Can I get amen? And so, saints, believers are not to simply expected to abstain from evil. Rather, they are expected to actively pursue opportunities to care for even an enemy's needs. What? That's right. This is how much God loves them. He wants you to be kind to them. Wasn't He kind to you? God was kind to me. That whole lifestyle of wickedness, He was still kind to me. And then He did something that I thought could ever happen in my life and what He's done for your life. You see, saints, God, He invites us to observe our enemies and at the very points of weakness where our counterattack of revenge might be most effective, we should mercifully meet that need. In other words, oh, watch, they're weak now and look at them. No, when you see weakness in someone that don't love you, go in there and bless them. Yeah. Help them. Watch God do something in their heart. It'll flip-flop their heart on how they would think of you and entreat you. And now you're going to win their heart. And guess what? When you win their heart, you're going to win them to Christ. That should be the whole agenda. How can I get them to the cross? It's going to be the love of God, the grace of God. So we have one more scripture before we close out chapter 12. One more, and it's verse 21. Look at this. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with what? With good. With good. Praise God. And so, saints of God, do not give in to your desire to take revenge or retaliate, like we've been talking about, with anything that's evil. Instead, act in a positive way. This is what Paul was referring to in the book of Ephesians. He said it best right up here in Ephesians 4:31. Let all bitterness, say that, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ forgave you. So if God said, forgive them, for I know not what they do, then he came and saved us from our evil and wretched ways, shouldn't we show that same grace to people that don't know God? Show that same grace to them. Show them that same love. And watch God use you like no other. Paul comes full circle back to the point of verse 9. To hate evil is to conquer it by doing good. When we hang on for dear life to those things that are good, and that are good in the sight of God, that's when we learn how to overcome evil. When you're doing good, there's no room for evil. There's no room for maliciousness. There's no room to act any differently, because your heart is consumed with doing good. So learn to do good and watch God, man, get all the glory. I want God to have all the glory what he does in my life. And one of the things that I know, sister, you always love to hear me say, but God is what? Long suffering. Huh? He's long suffering with us. So look at this. In 1 Corinthians 13:4, love suffers long and is kind. Man, God is saying, you know what? Don't give up in loving that person. I don't care how much they hate you. Keep on loving them. Because love suffers long. We don't know how long they're going to hate you or think of you as, I don't want nothing to do with you. We don't know how long that time period is. But God says, suffer through it. Because love, agape love, suffers long and is kind. Look at this. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Love is not puffed up. Does not have rudely. Look at this. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. It's not provoked. Thinks no evil. So when you're filled with the love of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God, the hope of God, there's no room for those stuff. Because you've choked all that evil stuff out. Now you're filled with the goodness of God. And that's how God wants you to operate on this planet. With the goodness of God. That's why he reminds us through the word. This is why we need to learn what God says, how we should operate on this earth. If you don't know God's word, you'll be operating on feelings and emotions. And that's a danger. Because our feelings and emotions is like a roller coaster. We may be happy one day and then down in the dumps the next day. And sometimes it's from hour to hour. Especially those of you that have that are on your job a long time during the day. It just goes like this. But look at this. But if we apply the word of God and we fill ourselves with the love of God, we don't give place for the devil. We don't get place for our own emotions. Because there's no good. The Bible says there's no good thing in us. Not one good thing. So the only thing that's a blessing to us is the Holy Spirit living in our being. That's the only good thing we can say about us right now. But look at this. Verse 5. Does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity. In other words, don't rejoice in that ungodly thing that you love watching or hearing or doing. Don't rejoice in that, man. Put it aside. I don't want to see that no more. I don't want to hear that no more. I don't want to associate myself with that no more. But rejoices in truth. truth. What did Jesus say? I am the way, the truth, and the life. And Jesus is the Word that became flesh. So He is the embodiment of truth. Jesus is all truth. There's no error in Him. This is why we need to cling to Him and embrace Him and engulf ourselves in His love, because we cannot lose. Look at this. It bears all things, verse 7. It bears all things, believes all things, it hopes all things. And guess what? It endures all things. All things. I don't care what you're going through. You'll be able to endure it. I was afflicted a couple of weeks ago. I had a time out for a whole week. But God said, I want you to endure this, because I'm teaching you something. This is a teachable moment for us. Sometimes God will give us a time out because He wants to teach us something that's good for us. You know, God's for us, not against us. All of this will be accomplished to the degree that we, if we allow God to create in us sincere love for the things of God. And how many of you love Him? How many can honestly say, you know what? I love God. So I closed with this right here. You want to do the things that honor God? You want to do the things that bring glory to Him? You want your life to be enriched, to walk in harmony with Him, to walk in harmony with others? Then James spelled it all out for us. This is why you be in the Word, so you know how to defend these things we're talking about, how you can put a shield around you. Because I could tell you, you know what? Just put the whole armor of God on and go. Wait a minute. What does that consist of? Here's the thing right here in James 4, 7. Therefore, submit to God. This is what we must do now. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Resist them. In the name of Jesus, I bind you and rebuke you, Satan. You have no authority. The blood of Jesus is against you.
Come on.
When you start praying in the Holy Ghost, when you start praying in the Spirit of God, and you start moving in the realm of the Holy Ghost, then guess what? The devils have to go.
Come on.
The devils will run. Why? Because they tremble at the name of Jesus. And the devils know who you are, because you've been anointed of God. You've been approved by God. Woo! Thank you, God. What are the triple A's? Anointed, appointed, and approved by God. And so, you know what? Satan knows who you are. So when he comes to buffet you, resist him. So, I know what that trick is. And I'm going to resist you right now, and I bind you. And that, Satan can come in many forms and fashion. He can come through things that you watch. He'll even operate in unbelievers' hearts to come and hurt, and to come and try to tempt you. So many ensnares and entrapments that Satan will do. All God is saying is, you know what? Recognize what it is and resist it. Know that it's not coming from Him. God will not cause you to sin. He will not tempt you to sin. He'll draw you close to Him so that you will have the peace that surpasses all understanding. Draw near to God and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to gloom. But here's the key. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. Aren't you so blessed that God will lift you up? God will take care of all your needs according to your riches and glory. And I'm speaking to someone right now who may have been listening to this whole message, and you've logged in, and maybe you stumbled across our website. Maybe you were typing amazing and our website popped up, and then now we're live and This is not a coincidence that you're listening to this message. And if you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, here is a wonderful opportunity to receive the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart, so that you would be born again from above. We've been born once through our mother's womb, through the flesh, but God is saying you must be born again from the Spirit, which comes from heaven. It comes from above, and it'll come upon you by faith, by God's grace. If you want to receive the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family to pray with me, to pray for you, that you too can have that wonderful relationship that we have with God, and that you would be able to receive the things of God and understand the things of God and operate and walk in the ways of God and know that God will always be with you. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. And you will, guess what? Be born into the kingdom of God by faith. So if that's you, pray this prayer by faith and watch God do the miraculous in your life. Pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise in the house.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening. Hallelujah.